legitimate whistleblower or blowhard masking poor performance. It's a judgment call federal managers have to make every day. No one wants to inadvertently punish someone who legitimately finds something wrong or let a crumb bum get away with murder. For advice on navigating this thin line, we turn to John Palguda, Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
It seems like there are so many instances of government, frankly, failures, especially with the cybersecurity front and that State Department database. On the other hand, so there's lots of whistleblowing potential, and yet there's also the issue of people performing poorly and what to do about them. It seems like it's really a complicated swirl these days.
Well, it is, Tom, and the point is also that this is not new. This swirl, as you put it, really has been going on for as long as I've been around, which is a very long time. It's interesting if you go back to the time when Congress first addressed directly the issue of whistleblowing and providing some protection for whistleblowers was in 1978. I was working for the Civil Service Commission in those days. Which then became OPM, but they put into law a set of merit principles, nine of them, and three of them are pertinent to this conversation. So the first is merit principle number six, and it basically says reasonably that employees who cannot or will not perform at required standards or at an acceptable level should be separated. So, if you can't do your job after, efforts to improve performance, if you can't do it, you don't deserve to be in public service. So that was one very clear merit principle. Then they went on to say, this is merit principle number eight, but of course, employees should be protected against arbitrary action, favoritism, or coercion for partisan political purposes. And then finally, number nine, Tom, was employees should be protected against reprisal for the lawful disclosure of information, which evidences a violation of law, mismanagement, waste of funds, et cetera. So in 1978, Congress said, hey, we've got to hold folks accountable. And they also said, but we also have to protect people who are serving the public interest by blowing the whistle on fraud, waste, mismanagement. And that set up a conundrum that we're still dealing with, how to do that, how to perform both of those merit principles in a reasonable way.
So, John, it seems like Congress is really of two minds. On the one hand, they keep passing legislation that makes it easier to, like VA fire senior executives. On the other hand, there have been a couple of whistleblower protection advances from Congress recently, too. And so it seems like the chasm between the sixes and the nines is getting wider.
It is. And I think, this is exactly at the heart of the matter, which is how do we achieve a reasonable balance? How do we protect? Well, how do we make sure we can hold people accountable and, if necessary, fire that very small percentage of folks who cannot or will not serve the public in an acceptable way, but also provide protections to make sure that if we do fire people, they're being fired for the right reasons. So this debate that we've been having, I think, since they first articulated these merit principles back in 78 and actually even before that, it has all been about the issue of balance. And you're right, Tom. I mean, there's the changes that were made for VA. There's proposals right now that would extend what is the current situation in VA for senior executives to other employees within VA to make it, closer to an at-will system. And you also have on the other side of the issues, things that people are trying to fix, is this issue of putting someone on paid administrative leave for an extended period of time. Well, people try to figure out what to do, and that causes folks, justifiably, I believe, to be outraged. Why are we giving somebody full salary for a year or more, and they're sitting at home because we seem to be unable to make a decision as to whether there's reason to move forward on a removal.
Well, luckily, the people that are on paid leave for more than a couple of weeks, it's a very tiny number compared to
it
all
is.
The people that get paid leave.
It is. I mean, but that those small numbers, though, that egregious example seems to drive actions. And sometimes I think those actions then tend to cause more problems than they're trying to fix. So you say, okay, you know, it's taking too long. We don't want people on you know, paid administrative leave for a long period of time. Let's, you know, make it a quick action by the secretary to remove those folks, over and done with. But then you have the issue of, well, what if that person is being removed because they've embarrassed the secretary or people in the front office by blowing the whistle on things that were against the public interest? And again, we get to the issue of what's the right balance.
All right. So what is the right balance? What should a manager do that's facing the situation? Because I think they face it all the time. Someone could point out something, but they could also be a good performer or a bad performer.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple things, Tom, and we're going to see this played out, I think, in some discussions up on the Hill as new legislation is proposed. But I think it's important to keep in mind what you've already said, which is, you know, we're not dealing with, you know, huge numbers of employees. We're dealing with a very small subset. So I think first of all, if you're a federal manager or federal leader in the executive branch, you want to make sure that you haven't tied yourself up in knots. So we had the recent example where the now former head of the Drug Enforcement Administration testified before Congress, and she said, well, you know, they were asking her, why didn't you deal with some clear misbehavior among some of your agents? And she said, well, my hands were tied. And when you did the analysis of, well, what was tying her hands, it was internal procedures that DEA had placed upon itself. She could have, the former director could have, she had delegated some authority. She could have rescinded that delegation and handled some things more expeditiously. So you have to make sure that you haven't set up in your own agency a process that is dragging things out. I think another key here, and this takes care of that small number of egregious cases where folks are on extended paid leave for, it seems, forever. Simply place some limits on, you know, how long a person can be on paid administrative leave. And I think we're talking about weeks, not months. And it's used, you know, very judiciously by management when there's a need for that. You have to get the person off the job site, but you need a few days at least to take a look at, you know, what do we do next.
We're speaking with John Palguda. He is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. Okay, and so what else? Go on.
So when there is an allegation of reprisal for whistleblowing, look, the only reason you're proposing this action is because I disclosed something that was in the public interest to disclose. That allegation has to be investigated in a fair and a timely manner. What was interesting, and you got to keep in mind that the number of whistleblowers out there is actually not very big. It's a big step for most employees to, you know, to go outside the management chain, to go to Congress, go to the media, what have you. It's a big step, and people don't take it lightly. But, you know, years ago when I was still working in the Merit Systems Protection Board, we did some studies on whistleblowing. And we found that the main reason people did not blow the whistle, did not, you know, reveal instances of fraud, waste, mismanagement, was not out of fear of reprisal. There was some of that, but mostly it was a belief that nothing would be done if they did blow the whistle. Nothing would be done to solve the problem. So solving the problem, listening to the allegations, or listening to whistleblowers, if they've got a legitimate, you know, case to bring. Within the agency, address it. Take a, you know, do a quick, as I said, fair and timely investigation and address the underlying problem. Don't kill the messenger. Try to solve the problem. Now you can have on the other, you know, you could have a few employees who are going to wrap themselves in the whistleblowing flag simply to hide their own inability to get a job done. And that's going to it has to be part of the investigation. And then there's two more things, Tom, I think, that
sure.
At management level. One is if you are going to remove an employee, and we do this now, but there's proposals to really truncate this, I think you got to give people an opportunity to respond to the proposed removal. And you know, there's an interesting thing going on right now, which is some ideas are talking about, well, we've got to make sure that the Merit Systems Protection Board, the administrative tribunal within the executive branch for folks to take actions, we've got to limit the amount of time that they're spending. And yes, you don't want the process to drag on, but once you have a right to go to MSPB, it's because you've been removed from your job. So you're not on the payroll.
At that point, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure telling MSPB, well, you've got to do, you know, you've got to issue a decision in 15 days. I'm not sure what that is accomplishing, because you're, you know, the taxpayer is protected. They're not paying the salary of someone who's been fired. And if the employees protect it in a way, I mean, they don't have a paycheck, but if they are found to have been fired for wrong reasons, they can be restored and made whole. So I think we've got to take a close look at what we're trying to do on the due process end of things to make sure that it's actually serving a reasonable purpose. So the bottom line here, Tom, is that you know, the answer to, you know, how do we hold people accountable for doing their jobs, but also protect them against reprisal for whistleblowing? It's going to be an issue of balance. It's not, you know, it's not at will employment, nor is it a process that is so daunting and so time consuming that no reasonable manager is willing to take it on.
All right. An issue of balance. I think we'll leave it on that note. John Palguda is the vice president for policy at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, we thank you for offering that advice.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thanks.